The title of today's message is Generosity Will Change Your Life. I want to talk about wholehearted generosity and how it can impact and transform our individual lives. The big idea is in your notes. I'll have Michelle put it up. It's this: when you and I are generous in any area of life, and we're giving of our time, talent, and resources, here's what happens. We position ourselves for the backflow of God's blessing. His name was John D. Rockefeller. At the age of 23, he became a millionaire. And at the age of 50, he became the first billionaire. And every decision, every attitude, everything about his life was tailored to create personal power and wealth. But here's what happened. At age 53, he became very ill. So much so that his body became racked with pain. He lost the hair on his head. And the billionaire had all the money he could ever spend, but he could only digest milk and crackers. An associate wrote, he could not sleep, he would not smile. Nothing in life meant anything to him. His personal physician said this, he predicted that within a year, John D. Rockefeller would die. It was a slow, agonizing year ahead, and death seemed to be just around the corner. One night, he had a sense of vision or dream, and when he woke the next morning, he said he could vaguely remember it, but here's what he knew. In this dream, it was communicated to him that he knew he could not take any of his worldly success with him into the next life. He had a choice he knew he had to make. Here's what he did. He called together his attorneys, accountants, and managers and announced that he would channel his resources, his assets, to hospitals, research, and mission work. He established the John D. Rockefeller Foundation. And from that decision, and his generosity, it led to the discovery of penicillin, cures for strains of malaria, tuberculosis, and diphtheria. Here's the interesting point. When John D. Rockefeller began to give rather than just take in, when he began to give a portion of he had earned, his body's chemistry was so altered that he got better. And at the age of 53, when they thought he would die, he eventually lived till age 98. Generosity somehow transformed John D. Rockefeller's life. Here's the issue he had. He was locked up within himself. He felt stalled in life. He felt like, what is my purpose? And John D. Rockefeller, who had all this money, was somewhat locked up and paralyzed on the inside of his life. You may be here today, and maybe you feel like your life is stalled out. There's something not right. You may feel stuck. As we talk about the principle of generosity, listen, there's a principle that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 6 that can free us up on the inside. It's in your notes. Let's read it together. Luke 6:37. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's 36 words. in the NIV translation. But the first phrase is probably the most important. There's a condition, and then there's a promise. The condition is one word. Jesus says, when you give, when you give, when you have outflow in your life, the promise is this, it will be given back to you. It's a kingdom principle of how generosity can change our lives. Jesus went on to say this, when you and I do give, it'll be given back. And he says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Let me stop there. For the people that have given generously over time, and there's many generous people in this church, and they've given not just money, but their time and their talent, they understand this verse. It's poured back into your lap. And Jesus says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Here's what it's saying. There is a divine backflow or backfill of blessing that comes every time you and I are willing to give. And it's not just money. I'm talking time and talent. And when we are willing to put ourselves out there for other people, Jesus says, it will be given back to you. There will be a backflow. There will be a blessing that comes into your life that would not have happened otherwise. And here's why. When John D. Rockefeller began to give out, it made room for something else in his heart. The same is true for you and me. If you want to get past the sense of being stalled or stuck or feeling like life's not going anywhere, hey, just practice giving in different areas, and it will free us up on the inside. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share with you three thoughts or three different areas of how we can be generous. If the kingdom principle of generosity, Jesus says, give, one word, give, and it will then be given to you. If that's truly true, let me tell you, we want to position ourselves to receive the backflow. So let's get started. Number one, the first thing we want to be generous with is this. Be generous with your time. Your time. Read with me Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The most important part of this verse is the first part, in which Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. This is a time element. Because when you and I put God first in our lives and in the decisions made during the week, everything else, Jesus said, will be given to you. I was talking with somebody after the first service, and she says, I think this point resonated with her, and here's what she told me. She said she had so many things to do this morning, and she wondered if she could even should even go to church. She had this responsibility, she has kids, and she thought of this and that, and everybody here experiences that. And yet here's what God does. When you and I put him first for an hour or hour and a half on Sunday morning, let me tell you, it says, all these things will be given to you as well. When we prioritize God in our life and give him that first time, that first hour, then he blesses the remainder of the day and even the week. So Jesus said, hey, keep your priorities in line and seek first everything about his kingdom. Let's read together the next verse in Ephesians. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Circle the words redeeming the time. Redeeming means to rescue. It means to salvage. It means to rescue from waste. And so Paul says this, you want to be wise in life? You want to make your life count? He says, redeem the time. Make choices that prioritize what's really truly important to God and to you in your life. So when we think about walking circumspectly, it means like 360 vision. You want to be aware of all that you have to do, but you make choices that will somehow honor God and it will better your own life. Here's a slide I'll have Michelle put up. Many things aren't equal, but everyone gets the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We make time for what we truly want. Isn't that true? You know, everybody's busy, are we not? We make time for what's truly important to us, what we want. Here's another quote. Every day is a bank account, and time is a currency. Miles Monroe, a writer and speaker, says, you know, think of the 24 hours a day as currency, and you spend it on something. You give it away, you invest it. And so as time is currency, no one is rich, no one is poor. We've got 24 hours each. So true, we all have the same amount of time. Jesus said, you want to be wise? You want to be, Paul says, be circumspect. Keep the kingdom as the priority. Here's another quote. We all have 24 hours in one day. It's not a question about time, but it's a question about priority. In other words, Jesus says, make sure your life is invested in what's really important and valuable in the big picture mindset of the kingdom. And here's one last quote. I had to put this one in. Saying you don't have time is the adult version of saying your dog ate your homework. The point is this. Ask yourself the question, you have 24 hours a day. How available is each of us for prioritizing God's kingdom and doing his work? Or are we so involved with so many other things, we don't have time to honor God and thank you for being here this morning and to seek first his kingdom? All right, time is number one. Number two. The second thing we can be generous with is talent. Now, John D. Rockefeller, when he had this turning moment in his life, he turned over control of his oil companies to other people and let them run them. You know what he did with the remainder of his life? He got a group of people around him, and they skillfully and the best they could decided how to give the money away. He used his talent not to make more money, but to end up giving it away for the second part of his life. And this talent is the ability that God deposits in each of us in the way of being a blessing to other people. Read with me 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Do you realize, and I've shared this before, you are a 10 out of 10 in some area. You're good at something. We're not good at everything, but you have one, two, or three areas where you are gifted in what you do. It's how you're wired. You're sharp. You can be a great blessing to other people. And Peter says this, whatever gift has been deposited in you by God, and you're just naturally good at it. We work at it to improve it. He says, use it to serve other people. And when you do that, there's an intersection in your life. It's called the intersection called fulfillment. It's when your skills and ability match an opportunity to serve somebody else. It's called fulfillment. If you're fulfilled today, chances are you're using your gifts to serve other people. If you're empty on the inside, chances are you have gifts deposited within you, but you haven't found the appropriate expression through an opportunity to make them click. And when you do, though, you feel good about life. Jesus wants you and I to feel good about life. You know how we do it? we are generous with using our gifts to help serve other people in the kingdom. So here's a quote. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Your life is one long runway. God has deposited things in you, skills, ability, spiritual gifts, and you literally, that's his gift to you, but then how you use them, how we make them work for the kingdom, is our gift back to God. Here's another quote. Albert Einstein said, only a life lived in the service to others is worth living. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the three servants where they were entrusted with things as the master went away, and one had five talents, one had two, one had one talent. You know what the guy did that had the one talent? He buried it. People bury their gifts. Do you know that? They're not sure what to do with them, and so they bury it. The master comes back and rewarded the guy with five. He got five more. The guy with two got two more. The guy that had one, he says, hey, take away what he had, because he buried it. So Jesus is saying this, don't bury what God has deposited in you, because he has a call on your life to go out and help other people. Only a life lived in service to others is really worth living. And that's where the intersection called fulfillment enters into our life. Here's another quote. I like this one. We rise by lifting others. You know, they say that people that are really depressed, what they can do to help themselves is to go out and serve somebody else that may be in a worse circumstance or just somebody that needs help. You know why? When we serve others, we rise by lifting other people up. This week, if you want to feel good about you, find somebody in your neighborhood, maybe at the school where you work, and serve them some way. Do it unexpectedly. Do it because you want to. Maybe it's a small gift. Maybe it's a sandwich. Maybe it's a kind word. We rise by lifting others. We need to take our talents and serve other people. Okay, in your notes, there's two lines. It's called a primary ministry and a secondary ministry. Let me explain that. Every person in the church is blessed with some gifting. The primary ministry is where you do something because you have passion for it. Figure out where your passion is at. Is it kids, senior citizens? Are you an administrator? Are you good with food? Whatever it is. Find your passion. You know why? That's your primary ministry. Find that outlet. Find that opportunity that is connected, you can connect your passion to. All right. Secondary ministry. Now, you might find another area that you're passionate about. That's way cool. But a lot of times, a secondary ministry is this. It's where you're not maybe naturally gifted, but you're needed. Everybody here has jumped in because somebody needed something, even though you may not have been super excited to do it. So the secondary ministry is, hey, a lot of times there's a need to do something. May not be my first passion, but you know what? I'm available with my time and my talent to help push the ball down the field. And so the secondary ministry is that, just another ministry. If you find it with passion, great. But if not, everybody needs both of them, a primary ministry and a secondary one. Now, here's my question. Can you even right now identify what your primary ministry is to the church and the community, and your secondary one is? Just give it some thought and give it some time. All right. So number one, be generous with your time. Number two, be generous with your talent. Number three, be generous with your resources. And this is referring to our money. I want to share with you two pathways, two simple ideas that I think can transform each of our lives because of the biblical principle involved. Letter A in your notes. Write the word tithe. Tithe means 10%. And when you and I tithe, God promises to do something special for us. Read with me Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Here's the principle. When we receive our money, the money we make, Malachi says, bring the tithe, the 10%, into the storehouse, which is the church. And God says, when you honor him, he will do something for you. It's in that verse. He says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and backfill the backflow into your life so much so you won't have room enough to contain it. Now, in the Old Testament, they were agricultural people. So they would bring grain, a tithe, 10% of the grain, into the storehouse, which is like the church. That was the way they honored God. Now, I have to say, my own tithing journey, as a kid, I first heard this and started it. I had starts and stops. I didn't always get it right, even into young adulthood. There were times where I struggled with it. But I finally reached a place where it just became automatic. I get paid from the church once a month. It gets deposited in my account. And I know every month, I know the exact amount I'm going to tithe to the church. It's not the tail end, it's the front end. And here's why it's important to me. It's in this verse. When we honor God by giving, he says he will pour back into our lives. And for me, you know what's really important? I want to be in a position to get what he wants to pour back in. I appreciated Jen's children's message. She was going to give Phoebe more because Phoebe gave up the one chocolate kiss. Do you realize when you're willing to honor God with that 10%, he's ready to pour back into your life. If you and I don't do the first part, which is the condition, we don't get the other half. But for those of people that know what it is to tithe faithfully over the years, you're systematic, you're regular, you do it just because you want to honor God, let me tell you, we know what it is to experience the backflow of his blessing into our lives. Here's a quote. Tithing isn't about God needing your money. It's about him needing first place in your life. Let me stop here. It's really not about money. You know what it's about? Who's the Lord of our life? John D. Rockefeller, I think, got locked up within himself. You know why? Money is powerful. We all know that. Our culture, money is way up there. We all want more of it, do we not? But listen, when we give God the first place in our life, here's what he does. He loosens us up on the inside where we are locked up. There's times in my journey when I wasn't doing tithing or offerings, and I'll get to that in a bit, where I feel locked up inside. You know why? I'm not honoring God by giving in this area. So when we give our time, our talent, and even our resources, something happens on the inside where we honor God and give him that first place in our life, and we feel free on the inside. So here's another quote. God says, if we do our part, he'll do the other part, which is open the floodgates of blessing. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you know what the most important thing for me is? I mean, I want to honor God, but I want to be in a position that I can experience his floodgates. I don't want to miss that. And whenever we honor him, he will honor us back. Jesus said, hey, it's the generosity principle of life itself. So letter A is tithing. Letter B. The second pathway that I want to share about resources is this. It's called offerings. This is money above the tithe. It's above and beyond. Read with me Deuteronomy 15 in your notes. Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. Here's what it means. Offerings are above and beyond the tithe. And God says, live open-handedly towards the world around you. Now, let me balance this. We all have expenses and there's family needs and there's a lot of competing interests for our resources and money. We want to take care of our family and do what's honorable and so forth. But for some, after they tithe, there is still a discretionary amount of money that God may have blessed you with. And the question is, what do we do with that discretionary money? John D. Rockefeller had more money than he could probably spend in a lifetime. But he had to make a decision. Even if he tithed, what would he do with the money beyond that? And the answer here is, you and I need to live wholeheartedly, generously towards the people around us. Now, I'll just share, for me personally, maybe it's sponsoring a child in some other country. Maybe it's supporting a radio ministry or a parachurch organization that they do amazingly good work. Maybe it's a charity. Maybe it's helping your neighbor. Maybe you help somebody pay their electric bill. I don't know. You just walk around through life and you're open-handed. You're willing to help somebody else out because even the remaining 90% belongs to God. He says, just be a good steward of it. And if you're able to bless other people, do it. You know, one of the greatest joys in life, in this generosity principle, is when you and I live open-handed, I tell you, there's no greater joy than knowing that you're helping someone else. And on the inside, you are freed and you are liberated and you feel good about yourself. Do you not? I'm thankful that this church has a lot of givers. Givers with their time, their talent, their resources. And it's fun to do life with people who are givers. Isn't that true? You know what's not fun? To do life with people who are takers. You know what I'm saying? You can be in the presence of someone for 30 seconds or a minute. They're a taker emotionally, mentally. They're in high need. And it'll suck it right out of you. On the other hand, if you get in the presence of a giver who's generous with their time, with their sense of talent, with their sense of resources, let me tell you, that's fun stuff. We're so blessed in the church that we have people who are generous in many different ways. You know what? God honors that. You know why? There's a backflow of blessing that's poured into individual lives as well as to church families when they are generous toward other people in helping people locally or in other parts of the world. Here's a final picture on this point. Unlocking God's blessing is the impact of tithes and offerings. If you want to get unlocked on the inside, you know what the secret is? Ask yourself, am I available to God with my time? Number two, am I using my talents to serve other people? Number three, my money. Am I honoring God with it in being generous through tithes and offerings? The end result, we get unlocked on the inside and he pours through the floodgates of heaven back into our lives. Well, let me just summarize it this way. John D. Rockefeller, very wealthy man, had a turning point in which he had to decide what he was going to do with his entire life, his time, talent, and resources. And somehow in his 50s, he made this decision to do something different. You may be here today and you're locked up in one of these three areas. You say, I'm just stuck. Chances are, if you take the principles of investing time, talent, and resources into other people, you can feel better this week just by being obedient to the principles shared today. So at the bottom of your sermon listening guide, and I'll have Michelle put the last slide up, commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. Here you go. What's the condition? Give. It's one word. Make a decision that in these three areas where you feel challenged, give. You go first. You know what the promise is? And it will be given to you. You know what that is? The backflow of God's blessing will begin to be poured into your life. At the bottom here, it says commitment. This is for you and you personally. I want you to think about these three areas and make a decision today about your time, your talent, and your money, your resources. Of any changes God is calling you or challenging you to step out on so that he can bless you in a greater way. You can sign it, you can put it in your Bible, refer to it later, but let's bow together in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, the first most important decision is to always know where you stand with God through Christ. And for all of us, it's asking Christ into our life or recommitting our lives to him. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. You can pray it silently after me. Father, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. Forgive me of all my sins. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to him. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. If that was a prayer you prayed, would you put your hand up and put it down? Anybody? There's one. There's another. Thank you. So now I want to walk you through these three areas and let God's Spirit speak to you, your time. What is God challenging you to do with your time this coming week? Spend more time with him? Serve in a different way? Just be available to help other people in your neighborhood? Just let him speak to your heart. He'll show you. Number two. Your talents. Ask yourself the question, am I using my talents for the kingdom? I mean, are you engaged in a ministry that's meaningful and you're seeking God's kingdom? Just ask yourself and let him show you how he would lead you going forward. And lastly, the money, tithes and offerings. You know, let God challenge your heart. There's only one place in the Bible he says to test him. And it's in this verse, and it's regarding our money. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you will not have room enough for it. Maybe he's challenging you to, in the tithes and offerings department, make your commitment today of what do you think he wants you to do going forward. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your invitation to us to be people of generosity. That wherever we go, there's a flow factor of blessing that you pour out upon us. So I pray that this week, Lord, you'll help each of us to prioritize our time to honor you. Help us to seek you first. Help us to be willing to apply our talents in a way that will lift other people up, that will encourage them, and that will be a blessing. And Father, for our money, give us wisdom of how to honor you with our tithe, but then to live open-handedly to a broken world about us, around us. And Lord, we just make a commitment in all three of these to live in such a way that you will bless us individually and as a church because we are committed to being generous people wherever we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.